In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So for the 15th Sunday after Trinity, based on the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" That's from the text. Well, to begin with, let it be pointed out that the Lord Jesus Christ is using "you" language in this text. Now, nobody is going to complain about his use of such direct language. And appropriately, you would rightly apply it to you, even though he was talking to his disciples. As a matter of catechesis, that is teaching, pastors use the "you" language as well, because they are the representative of Christ. That's why you hear pastors say, "Instead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive your sins." Because as they speak those words, it is Christ breathing his holy words of absolution upon you. So it also goes with the sermon. In fact, when it came to the sanctuary, where God's word is indeed proclaimed by men in the office and heard by the laity, Luther went so far as to call it the mouthhouse of God. That being said, hear now the word of the Lord. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, who rescued his children from the mighty Egyptians, brought them safely through the sea, and led them through the desert wilderness, free from being in bondage. They ate manna from heaven and feasted sumptuously on fattened quail, without toil or sweat, without thorns or thistles. Israel was filled with heavenly food, yet their appetites were not quenched, and they complained bitterly against God. Rescued from slavery and fed on bread from heaven without a need in the world, they wanted more, something new, something different. And God had to deliver. Not enough. Fallen man's misguided materialism is nothing new. Aspirations become wants. Wants become needs. And self-gratification becomes the bottomless pit of self-deception. You speak loudly of the great good that you would do if you only had more. More of what you believe is needed to help all of your ailing situations. Wealth and materials. How can these be so wrong, Lord? But the personal benefits that are daydreamed about when it comes to such new wealth will just turn a blind eye to those, Lord. It's a powerful lie that money will bring happiness. But you plot, and you plan, and you pursue every incremental dollar as though your lives depended upon it. Or you'll tell yourself and even others that it is for a good cause, of course. You'll chase after mammon for all sorts of reasons, there is something else behind it all along. The children grow up and end up doing something you didn't expect. You became lazy and didn't quite stay in shape, while your cupboards stayed filled and your retirement accounts got comfortably funded, while God was comfortably kept at a distance. The search is always for new diversions to fill the diminishing interval between now and eternity. Unsatisfied with the goods that you so eagerly sought before, and having nothing, having done little of the good of which you so often said it was going to be about, you find the world empty. The devil, the world, and your sinful flesh has duped you and left you without the solace or stimulation that they daily promise. That money or success brings happiness is the devil's manna. And you have eaten it without complaint or contempt. Greed has been swallowed whole. Instead of full and satisfied as you thought you would be, you are empty and defiled. Repent, O fallen man, for you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. The old man and the new man cannot live together. God cannot be mocked. He who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Repent for how much more time was spent in worrying than in prayer. How much more time is spent in worrying than in self-examination? How much more time is spent in worrying than in confession? Repent of your endless chasing after earthly treasures, which moth and rust will soon destroy. Dear Christians, when I speak to the new man in you, repent and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you will have more than you have ever dreamed or imagined or conquered. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are of more value than birds. For the only begotten Son of God did not die for sparrows. He did not take on the form of a quail or an eagle. He took on the form of a bond servant and came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Bearing the world's sins, he was a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died. On the third day he rose, he was raised again according to the scriptures and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. In the meantime, Jesus feeds seed to the quail and meat to the eagles. How much more he he fattens you with his own flesh and quenches your lusts with his precious blood. He is body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, for life, for salvation. Our Father in heaven provides you with more than daily bread to sustain your flesh in this veil of tears. He feeds you with heavenly manna to carry you, body and soul, into everlasting life. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They simply receive what God has to give. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. For what silk or precious tapestry can compare it to flowers? What cloth rivals such beauty as the softness of a lily? What dye surpasses the red upon a rose? You do. Because of the merits of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you, you are more precious to your Father than the flowers in the fields. In his holy baptism of you, he has clothed you with the wedding garment of everlasting righteousness. There is no robe that truly possesses the reddened beauty of Christ's blood, which washes you clean for the feast. There is no lily that shines as brightly as the incorruptible, glorified flesh, which shall appear at the sound of the trumpets, raising you up into the clouds. Our Father who art in heaven, provides you with his kingdom, giving you the more that all of mankind truly needs, the more that's always right here, being delivered, right here for the receiving. What shall you eat? You shall eat the body of Jesus, born of the Virgin, executed for crimes he did not commit, and raised again in glory by his Father, given for you. What shall you drink? You shall drink the blood of Jesus, poured out outside the city gates, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. What shall you wear? You shall wear his righteousness, the wedding garment of joy that he provides by grace alone, poured upon your heads through the blessed waters of holy baptism. Though there be enough trouble for each day, you needn't worry. This life will not last, and your communion with God the Father through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit is a here and now reality. You need never run and chase after the devil's lies. You have the truth of Christ crucified, who sets you free to everlasting life, filled with eternal riches. Receive the kingdom of God upon your heads, through your ears, and into your mouths. Receive true rest, true peace, given through his means of grace, his word and sacraments, continually pointing you to his merits for you. Do not be anxious. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he will sustain you through the blessed way of the cross of Christ crucified.